This is Lele Pons from Suite 305 with Lele Pons. Game day at my house, it's chaos, but like in a fun way. The TV's ready, the remotes are ready, the kids' toys are going off, and somehow everybody needs batteries at the exact same time. That's why I keep Duracell stocked. And Duracell just released limited edition Duracell and Messi battery packs. The design is inspired by Messi's iconic left leg tattoo. So every battery feels like it comes with an extra kick. From the TV remote to automatic corkscrew, Duracell keeps us game day ready. Duracell double and triple A batteries are the only ones built different with power boost ingredients for long-lasting performance you can trust. Find the limited edition Duracell and Messi batteries in stores at Lowe's and Walmart or on Amazon.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's. Online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast. In this episode, we dive into the unsettling case of Jennifer Farber Dulos, who vanished on May 24, 2019. Amidst a divorce and custody battle, her estranged husband, Fotis Dulos, and his partner, Michelle Trokinis, became the center of a shocking conspiracy. Today, we bring you up to the moment coverage from the courtroom as Trokinis faces trial, accused of a role in this presumed murder.
All right, this
honorable
Supreme Court is now opening back.
Before the jury comes in, may I just briefly, Your Honor, I'm just going to ask for a little bit of leeway on cross-examination. We just went through days of the state's witnesses reading from their reports, including negative findings. So if I'm asking a question, it's not the same question. It has to do with how this witness was interviewed multiple times. And if the point has to do with inconsistencies on different dates, maybe the court considers it a waste of time. But I'm asking for a little bit of leeway in light of the fact that, you know, we just went through what I thought was days of a waste of time. So if I may.
Well, what the court is concerned about, Attorney Schoenhorn, is not that the cross-examination is inappropriate. It's the amount of time leading up to the inconsistency. So, of course, the code allows basically impeachment of any witness, bias for, prejudice against, or interest in any matter. But the court is concerned, again, with trying to keep the trial under the overestimate. And so the court is not indicating that the attempts to impeach are inappropriate. It's just the lead up to the impeaching question takes so much time. The court has to be concerned about that. Can we bring in the jury, please?
Thank you.
The counsel stipulate, please.
Yes, Judge.
Yes.
So when you discovered that Mr. Dulos had cleaned and washed your car that day, you already knew that Jennifer Dulos had been missing since the previous Friday, right?
Correct.
You didn't think there was any connection between those two things, did you?
Not at this moment, no.
I'm sorry, not at what?
Not at this moment, no.
Not at that moment, right? So maybe in hindsight, right? Like now, but then you didn't, correct?
Correct.
And at that time, even after he washed your car, you didn't suspect that Fotis Doulas had anything to do with the disappearance of his wife, correct?
Correct.
And you'd known Fotis, you testified for many, many years, correct?
Correct.
So you knew what he was like in general, right?
Correct.
He wasn't a stranger to you?
No.
You'd seen him when he'd gotten angry sometimes, right?
Very rarely.
Rarely did he get angry, though, correct?
Correct.
He was happy sometimes. You saw him happy, right?
Correct.
You never thought he was hiding things from you, did you?
Correct.
Now, on, I believe you testified it was Thursday, the day before you first encountered the police, that Fotis Doulas suggested you go to a junkyard and buy some used seats to replace the ones in your truck, right?
Correct.
And I already asked you, you went to at least two junkyards, right?
Correct.
And then you also went to, I didn't quite understand, a used auto parts store?
No, I went to junkyard, and the second junkyard was more like a used auto parts store.
Are they the ones that said you could order some Tacoma seats that might work in your car?
Correct.
In your truck, I mean?
Correct.
Okay. But it would take a few days, right?
Correct.
But you didn't order those seats, did you?
I didn't know.
And when you went back, you told Fotis that you couldn't find any, right?
Correct.
And he seemed angry, that, or at least disappointed. You tell me, was he angry about that?
Yes.
Did he yell at you?
Not until, he wasn't raising his voice until the minute when I told him that I'm not going to do it.
Okay. That didn't come yet. I'm trying to go in order here, right?
Correct.
He was annoyed that you couldn't find any, right?
Correct.
So he was asking you to try elsewhere, try something else, right?
Correct.
Now, he also said to you when he told you to go look for seats, he said, let's not call them seats. That's what you testified, right?
Correct.
He said to call them hardware.
Correct.
Didn't that strike you as strange?
It did.
But again, you still didn't suspect that this had anything to do with Jennifer Dulos, did you?
I was suspicious about it. I was just, it just wasn't fitting in my head that he would be capable of doing such a thing.
So it didn't raise any red flags when you went and actually looked for seats, right?
It did raise red flags. I was analyzing him on that Friday, it just didn't make sense for me.
But you still went and looked at least two different locations, right?
Correct.
And you did confront him and ask him, why am I doing this? And you wanted an answer from him, right?
Correct.
This was Friday afternoon, right?
Correct.
And he had told you that a few weeks earlier on Mother's Day, he had either picked up the cat or hugged Jennifer, and some hair may have gotten on him and gotten on the car, on his clothes and on the Tacoma, right?
Correct.
That you found that acceptable at that moment, didn't you?
For cleaning the car, yes, not for replacing the seats.
No, but for cleaning it, right?
Correct.
So that Friday, you did remove the seats from the Cayenne, right?
Correct.
You had indicated, I think, that it was difficult to move the seats because the battery was dead. So you first had to go and get a car charger to put enough battery power back in the Porsche Cayenne so you could move the seat back, right?
Correct.
Because the seats were all forward and you couldn't even reach the bolts to take them out, right?
Correct.
You were in the Jeep Cherokee at that point, correct?
Correct.
So when I asked you before about when you went down to New Canaan, you always drove the Raptor. This day you took the Cherokee, correct?
Just object, Judge, mischaracterizes the testimony.
Well, again, this is what the court had discussed earlier. Right now, the court just hears a reiteration of the direct. But the reiteration of the direct is not cross-examination. The court is giving counsel some leeway, but after a certain number of reiterations, there has to be a question that's going to be relevant to the defense, not simply reiteration of direct. The court will allow it a little longer.
That day you had taken the Jeep Cherokee to New Canaan, correct?
That Friday, when I was replacing the seats, yes.
That day? You had it all day, the Jeep, right?
Yes.
Okay. You had those Cayenne seats in the back of the Jeep at the moment you were on for Jefferson Crossing when the police were there, right?
Correct.
So you changed the seats in your Tacoma after you had had the encounter with the police, isn't that right?
Correct.
Over the weekend?
I believe that was the same Friday.
That night after you got home?
Correct.
You did it in your driveway in Simsbury?
In my garage in Simsbury, yes.
In your garage in Simsbury. So you had the Tacoma in the garage?
Yes.
And you had the Jeep parked in the driveway behind the garage or in front of the garage?
Or on the street, yes.
Okay. When you changed the seats, who was home at your house at that time?
I believe my wife and my kids.
Your mother doesn't live with you in Simsbury, does she? Or brothers and sisters of you?
No.
Were you made aware that one of your hairs or some DNA from one of your hairs was found in a on a sponge in a garbage bag found on Albany Avenue? Were you told that?
No.
At any time?
No.
Nobody even asked you about that?
I believe the prosecutors asked me if I had any, if I remember correctly, green and yellow sponges in my truck.
Did you?
No.
By the way, I showed you pictures of the extraction, the Craigslist search of Tacomas. We saw them earlier today, right?
Correct.
That Sunday after the disappearance, you were also searching for flights to Krakow, Poland, weren't you?
Correct.
By the way, you were questioned about how it was that your searches were all deleted off of your phone. Remember being asked that?
Correct.
At the time, you had no explanation for that, correct?
Well, I'm going to object, Your Honor.
Well, the witness can respond in any way in which the witness chooses to respond. So the question is, you had no explanation for the deletions. And what's the objection?
So my objection is that it's a vague question. What is counsel referring to? Is he referring to the testimony? Is he referring to the police?
Well, this is
interview?
What the witness can ask. If the witness does not understand the question, the witness can say he doesn't understand the question.
Can you repeat the question?
Do you understand my question, or do you need me to rephrase it?
Can you repeat it?
Sure. The police told you that when they took your phone, they analyzed your phone on Sunday, May 26th, your searches had been deleted for a period of time. Do you remember them asking you that?
Yes.
And you told them you have no idea how that happened, correct?
Correct.
And the whole time that you were doing searches for new used Toyotas and flights to Poland and news about the disappearance of Jennifer Doulos, you still did not believe that Fotis Doulos had anything to do with it, correct?
Correct.
In fact, you didn't even think he was the kind of guy who would do that. Isn't that right?
Correct.
So before you gave a written statement, the police gave you a choice, didn't they?
Oh. I'm going to object, Your Honor.
That's a very vague
question.
Okay. I'll rephrase. The police basically told you to, quote, pick a team, unquote, didn't they?
They said something like that during that in interview.
They said either that you were oblivious and didn't know what was going on, or you could help them prosecute Doulos, correct?
They were asking me to tell them what I know.
And isn't that when they also said, we'd hate to see this screw up your citizenship effort?
Possible.
You were asked questions yesterday about conversations with Mr. Zeisler. Do you remember those questions about whether a light could be a camera or an installation of things that looked like lights but were actually cameras, something along those lines? Do you remember that question?
Correct.
Do you remember that the police asked you whether you brought that up to the police, didn't you?
Correct.
And that was after they said, look, is there anything in hindsight that seemed normal at the time, but maybe in hindsight looks suspicious? And that's when you mentioned the questions about it at that point, right? About Mr. Zeisler and the conversation about the cameras, right?
Yes, I believe I spoke to one of the investigators prior to my interview mm-hmm. about that.
But it came up where they were asking you to look back and see, was there anything else that didn't seem suspicious at the time that maybe now does? Do you remember that's where you thought back and you said, that seems suspicious now, right?
Good.
Now, you also brought up, without even a question, that you had taken off the license plate for the Raptor. Do you remember telling the police that on July 12th?
Yes.
You said that you removed the bolts from the Raptor's, from the license plate, from the bumper?
Judge, I'm just going to object to the form of the question.
The court understood the question to be, did you tell the police you took the, or at least a marker plate off of the Raptor? That's how the court understood the question. Is that the question?
Yes.
And what is the objection?
My objection is to the form of the question, Judge. He keeps referring back to the previous statement. He needs to pose questions to the witness. Did you do this? Did you do that? As opposed to referencing a previous statement, which is not being used for impeachment purposes. So my objection is technical in nature, but I think these questions are all improper.
Well, the question is, did you tell the police you took the marker plate off of the Raptor? Whenever that occurred is apparently not germane to the question. That can be followed up.
I'll rephrase the question. You did remove the Raptor license plate prior to being interviewed by the police, correct?
Correct.
And then you told them about it?
Correct.
I just have a few more questions, sir. You had mentioned on direct exam that you recall that Mr. Doulos had this antique bicycle, correct?
Correct.
It was a road bike with the skinny tires, right?
Like a racing bike, yes.
Yeah, so a racing bike with the what they call ram's horn type, so you could lean forward and go pretty fast, right?
Correct.
But it was kind of in bad shape, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say it was bad shape. It was in good shape. It was old bicycle.
It's a very old bicycle, right? In fact, hadn't you had to even fix it at one point? He asked you to repair the tires or something?
Correct.
You said that you thought it was, at the time, didn't you say that it was just some kind of European model?
Doulos told me that that was a French bicycle.
Okay. But that's all you knew about it. The time.
Yes.
And just have a moment. By the way, you were shown a picture of the garage at 4 Jefferson Crossing, I think. Either this morning, I think, right?
Correct.
There were a lot of bicycles in that garage, weren't there?
Correct.
No further questions.
Redirect.
Okay.
Mr. Domini, you were asked on cross-examination about your dirt bike. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
Who did that dirt bike belong to when you purchased it?
Michelle Tekernes.
And can you just explain to the jury the arrangements that you made to purchase the dirt bike?
I believe Fotis Doulos either texted me or called me that he was purchasing Yamaha dirt bike, smaller dirt bike for Michelle. And he told me that they're giving him like $1,800 for trade-in. And he told me, I'd rather sell it to you for $1,800 so you can ride with us than just leave it at the dealership. And he asked me if I was interested to purchase it from him. And I told him if I can negotiate with him a little bit, and I believe I negotiated to like $1,500, and I paid him the money. And I spoke with Michelle, and she had a, I believe, loan on the bike in Florida, so she didn't have a physical title. And at some point later on, I asked her if she paid off the loan and can I have the title? And Michelle, I can't remember if that was either text or in person, told me that that she has the bike was paid off, she has the title, but it's electronically.
And you paid Mr. Doulos, is that correct?
Correct.
And then Mr. Schoenhorn brought up on cross-examination, you had to meet him and give the dirt bike back. Is that correct?
I received a call from Farmington Police, and I forwarded that phone call to Mr. Urso.
Right, because the defendant was claiming that she never sold you the bike, correct?
Correct.
I want to just play a clip from the defendant's interview, if I could. This is interview one.
Well, I'm going to object to this being played to this witness. If this witness hasn't seen it, then it's not proper to be shown to this witness.
That's interesting, Judge, because earlier today, Mr. Schoenhorn showed an exhibit to this witness that he hadn't seen. This is a full exhibit. I'd like to publish it to the jury.
Well,
it's a question.
Well, the court understands the offer to be of a segment of an interview, correct?
That's correct, sir.
So, of course, now the code is written before the development of the technology that we have today. So,
if I may proffer, Your Honor?
Well, according to the code, you have to disclose to the witness what the inconsistent statement was.
So, Judge,
if there is an inconsistent statement.
Yes, sir. This is the defendant's statement, which has already been admitted into evidence. My issue, Your Honor, that I'm taking is the suggestion on cross-examination. I believe the specific question was posed to Mr. Domini. That was never your bike, suggesting that Michelle Tekernes hadn't sold it to him. I'd like to play a clip that's already been admitted into evidence, and then I'd like to ask some questions about it.
So this is an interview with the defendant?
That's correct, sir.
Your Honor, I was not permitted, the state objected to showing even a clip from Mr. Gumieni's interview with the police. So there isn't a question. You would have to lay a foundation that this witness was aware of that, because otherwise, what's he going to do? Have this witness characterize what someone else said, which would clearly be improper.
Judge, that's apples and oranges. Number one, the clip that Mr. Schoenhorn wanted to play wasn't in evidence. This is. That's point number one. Point number two, I didn't actually object to the clip being played. What I said was I'd like the opportunity to inspect it. And then he looked for it and looked for it and looked for it and then said he was going to move on. So he misstates the record.
Well, the court is going to, because the testimony is essentially controverted, that it was brought out on cross, that as the court understood the testimony or the cross, that the bike was really never sold, no title passed.
Well, I never said that it wasn't sold. I said that it wasn't paid for and the title wasn't transferred. I never said that it wasn't sold. That's a misstatement of the record.
He said it was never really your bike, I believe, and I'd like to play a clip.
No, the court is going to overrule the objection.
And just for the record, this is the defendant's first interview. We get our sound working. Beginning at
15:34:07. He was coming in, he smoked. He left his motorcycle.
Okay.
Well, it's fine because that motor used to be mine and I sold it to him.
Well, you want that?
No, no.
So the defendant sold you that bike, correct?
Correct.
And then she claimed to the police later that she had.
Objection, leading, and misstates the record.
Well, first, would this witness know what she claimed to the police? So the court would understand the objection to be foundation. How would he know what she claimed to the police?
May I have this mark for identification, Judge?
Well, you can respond to the objection.
I have a voicemail here from the Farmington Police Department that was left for Mr. Dumini, which I just got last night. I wasn't expecting to have to use it, but I guess we're going to.
First, wouldn't it be easier to just ask him about the voicemail?
I don't know whose voicemail is it.
Well, I just gave Mr. Schoenhorn a copy, so if he wants a break to listen to it, that's fine. But
you must have a brief break, counsel, to hear the voicemail.
Your Honor, I'd like to at least listen to this voicemail, what it entails and whose voice it is.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take a 5-minute recess. Please do not disturb.
All rise. Court is now back in session.
Be seated.
Judge, where we had left off, I was asking to pre-mark a voicemail. Attorney Schoenhorn was given an opportunity to listen to that voicemail over the break. And I want to just explain the nature of the offer here, Your Honor. This is a voicemail from a person that identifies himself as Officer Ruggiero of the Farmington Police Department, indicating that Mr. Gumini is in possession of a dirt bike that belongs to Michelle Traconis and that she wants it back. And so the purpose of this offer, Judge, is to put into context fully what happened here, because I think that the cross-examination left the false impression that Mr. Gumini was somehow in possession of this dirt bike illegally, somehow that he was lying about having purchased it from Michelle. And so, you know, and Mr. Schoenhorn completely skipped over the fact that the defendant actually had called the police and basically strong-armed him into giving the dirt bike back. So it's offered to basically rebut the suggestions that were left for the jury on cross-examination at this point.
There are still rules of evidence. This is a hearsay statement, first of all, by someone representing to be a police officer, making hearsay statements. It's not authenticated. And even if it was, the idea that hearsay can be put in to rebut an assumption, the testimony, if the court wants to go back and look at it, is that my client was never paid. She didn't say she didn't sell it. She was not paid. And if this, the only way to rebut this, prove it, put on a receipt or proof that a payment was made. But to suggest that a police officer's voicemail that to calling Mr. Apparently calling Mr. Bumiani, asking that he return the motorcycle. You know, doesn't come. I mean, there's no exception for wanting to fill in the details. There was cross-examination. There were admissions made. There's proper ways to do this. You can ask the witness why he gave it back if there's no other reason. But to suggest that hearsay can replace that is there's no rule of evidence that would permit that.
Well, here's the court's view.
And it's collateral.
Here's the court's view. A sale involves, this takes all of us back to year one in law school, offer, acceptance, and consideration. If the claim is, as counsel states, Michelle Traconis sold it, that means there's been an offer, acceptance, and consideration. But then to state that she was not paid, then that would not be a sale. There's no consideration. So what the court hears is basically a hearsay within hearsay offer. So the court has to determine whether each component of that offer would be admissible. So the first component is really the officer saying, Michelle Traconis told us that she wants the bike back. The statement is being offered against the party as the party's own statement. That's an exception. The second hearsay component is what the officer says. The officer says Michelle Traconis wants the bike back. So if the claim is then, well, the officer's statement is hearsay, under what exception does that fall? Or is it not hearsay? Is it offered for the truth? It's offered for what he was told. So it's not offered for the truth. So the court is going to allow it.
The court hasn't heard it. There's more to it than what was just represented.
Well, the court thought it was just that statement that was being offered. Michelle Traconis says she wants the bike back. That's what the court thought the offer was.
That is, and then he says that he would prefer that this be handled civilly, and can you give me a call? I mean, that's
the... Well, that's the witness's statement.
No, that's what's on the voicemail.
So the whole statement is what?
The entire voicemail is approximately a minute long, Your Honor. I can play it for the court if you'd like.
Yes. So this is a voicemail, not a recording of the conversation.
That's correct.
Between the officer and Mr. Gumiani.
Yeah.
I'm the one making the offer. It is a voicemail left by the Farmington police officer, Ruggiero, for Mr. Gumiani.
From the police, though, not from Mr. Gumiani's assistant.
Go on. There.
Well, this is Officer Ruggiero from Farmington Police. I'm calling in regards to a motorcycle that you're in possession of that belongs to Michelle Traconis. Basically, she just wants it back. She's trying to make arrangements so we can do this civilly. If you can give me a call back, I'd appreciate it. 860-675-2400, 860-675-2400. Once again, Officer Ruggiero, Farmington Police Department. Thank you.
Well, again, based on what the court just heard, the court has not changed its analysis. It's a hearsay statement within a hearsay statement. Both of those statements can land on an exception, and the court will allow it.
May I just have it marked, Judge?
Yes.
This is 128 for ID. I'll move it in front of the jury.
You can bring the jury in. Counsel stipulate.
Yes, Judge.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Gumini, before we took the recess, you had indicated that the Farmington police had contacted you. Is that correct?
Correct.
And they contacted you because the defendant was claiming you had never bought the dirt bike, correct?
Objection. First of all, mischaracterization and leading.
Well,
is that correct?
Correct.
Judge, I formally move Exhibit 128 in. May I publish?
Well, the court has already indicated that it would be allowed.
Yes, Judge.
128 admitted as full.
That's all. To police. I'm calling in regards to a motorcycle that you're in possession of that belongs to Michelle Tritonis. Basically, she just wants it back. She's trying to make arrangements so we can do this civilly. If you can give me a call back, I'd appreciate it. 860-675-2400, 860-675-2400. Once again, Officer Ruggiero, Farmington Police Department. Thank you.
Mr. Gumini, did you receive that voicemail?
Yes.
You were not asked about the Farmington Police Department on cross-examination, were you?
No.
And you did, in fact, purchase this dirt bike, correct?
Objection leading.
Well, the form of the question is leading, but it's working no surprise on the defense, because that is the subject of this whole inquiry, so overruled.
Do you remember the question?
No.
Neither do I. You did in fact purchase this dirt bike, correct?
Correct.
But after the police were called, what did you do?
I forwarded the voicemail to my attorney.
And at some point, did you return the dirt bike?
Yes.
And that's when you met up with Mr. Schoenhorn, correct?
Correct.
You were asked on cross-examination about the defendant taking the keys out of your Tacoma. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
I want to, you were asked whether or not you thought perhaps the defendant had taken the key because it was left in, I don't remember the exact question, but basically because it was left out in the open or something to that effect?
Yes.
I want to direct your attention now to that conversation that you had with Mr. Dulos and the defendant on Tuesday, May 28th. The topic of the keys came up, didn't it?
Yes.
And can you just tell the jury how it came up and what Mr. Dulos said to you?
So Mr. Dulos was asking me how did I come back from New Canaan, how we met at 80 Mountain Spring Road. And I told him that we drove back to Fort Jefferson to leave one of the vehicles, and we came back to basically so I could get my Tacoma back. And then Mr. Dulos had to call Tacones to get the key because there was no key in my door. And then Dulos said that not to mention that, to keep Michelle out of it.
Did you find that strange if she was just trying to be helpful?
I'm going to object to the characterization.
I'll withdraw the question. Incidentally, you were asked on cross-examination about researching flights to Poland. You're from Poland, correct?
Correct.
And who were you researching flights for?
For my kids and my wife.
When were you hoping they would go to Poland?
Me?
Well, when were you researching flights for them? Was it for summertime?
Yes, for summertime.
And had they gone to Poland before?
Yes.
Did you ever get on a flight to Poland in May of 2019?
No.
You showed up at work on Tuesday the 28th, correct?
Correct.
You were asked on cross-examination whether or not you thought the defendant was joking when she said that Jennifer, that bitch, should be buried next to the dog, correct?
Correct.
You wouldn't call that a joke, would you?
I would not.
You were asked on cross-examination about your Tacoma malfunctioning when it would start. Do you recall those questions?
Yes, I do.
Just to be very clear for the jury, your Tacoma did not always malfunction when you would start it, correct?
Correct.
In fact, it would only happen about once a month.
Judge, this is all leading, and it's not what the witness said.
Well, the form of the questions are leading.
How often would it happen?
Well, once a month.
You were asked on cross-examination about returning from 80 Mountain Spring Road with Mr. Dulos and running into Stefan Reich at Fort Jefferson Crossing. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And he indicated to you that he was there for dinner, I believe he testified to on cross-examination?
Correct.
Were you invited for dinner?
I believe somebody asked me if I want to stay, and I refused.
And when was the last time you saw Mr. Dulos in person?
The last time I spoke with him in person was Friday, week after Jennifer's disappearance.
That's May 31st?
Correct.
I wanted to just display a defense exhibit if I could. Perhaps Mr. Schoenhorn can refresh my memory. What exhibit is this with the extraction?
Is it Z or double Z? If I may just approach the clerk.
Yankee. All right. This is defense exhibit Y. And I'm just going to ask Mr. Domingue, can you see that picture?
Yes.
You were asked on cross-examination about this photograph. Do you recall those questions?
No.
Do you recall being asked about the oil can that you had brought with you?
Yes.
Okay. And can you just remind the jury why you brought the oil?
Because the truck was leaking oil.
Was that your only vehicle at the time?
Was that?
Besides your wife's vehicle, was that your only personal vehicle at the time?
Yes.
And did you need it back?
Yes.
You were asked on cross-examination about the Chinese restaurant. Do you recall that?
Yes.
So I just want to be clear for the jury. Do you have a specific recollection as to what day you went to the Chinese restaurant?
No.
But you're indicating it could have been May 24th?
Yes.
You were asked on cross-examination about whether or not you had been in the market for a new Tacoma. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
How long had you been looking to possibly sell your Tacoma?
About a year.
And when did you tell Mr. Dulos that you were thinking about selling your Tacoma?
About that time.
And if I recall your testimony correctly, you've been working at 61 Sturbridge for approximately 1 year. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you've been leaving your Tacoma at 4 Jefferson Crossing for approximately 1 year and using work vehicles to get to New Canaan, correct?
Prior to 61 Sturbridge, I was working on 175. There was a project in Darien that when I was working on that project, I was driving company vehicles too.
But just to be clear, and then I'll ask another question. You told Mr. Dulos about a year prior to May 24, 2019, that you were thinking about selling your vehicle, correct?
Correct.
And then for that entire year that went by, did he ever wash your car?
He did not.
And then for that entire year that went by, did he ever detail your car?
He did not.
But the week after Jennifer Dulos disappeared, he washed it?
Yes.
And he detailed it?
Yes.
Just going back to the defendant taking your keys for a moment, you did not know that she was going to take your keys, correct?
I did not.
And what did the defendant tell you she was going to do?
Wait.
Strike that. When you were about to leave 80 Mountain Road, the defendant told you where she was going to go, correct?
I remember she said something about rugs or carpets, that she's going to meet with somebody or...
And the conversation in which she said this, you had asked Mr. Dulos to give you a ride back to 80 Mountain to get your vehicle, correct?
Correct.
Did the defendant ever call you and tell you she had your keys?
No.
She had your phone number, though, didn't she?
Yes.
If I could just have a moment, Judge. You were asked on cross-examination about removing the raptor plate. Do you remember those questions?
Yes.
I don't think you were asked the reason why you removed the raptor plate. Would you tell the jury?
Mr. Doulos bumped into something with his raptor, and he asked me to straighten up the bumper.
And did you do that?
Yes.
And then did you put the plate back on?
Yes.
I just have another moment, Judge.
Yes.
I have nothing further, Judge.
Mr. Gumieni, the Tacoma keys were sticking out of the door of your vehicle as you're about to leave, correct?
Of the passenger side of my door, yes.
You saw it though, right? You saw the key sticking out of the door, right?
Yes.
There was nothing that would have prevented you from just taking them with you, was there?
I was looking on it and I figured I'll be back here in 5-10 minutes, so I didn't bother taking it out.
My question is, there was nothing that prevented you from taking them right then and there, right?
Right.
And you told the police that you thought that Michelle took the keys so they wouldn't be just dangling from a car when no one else was there, right?
Right.
I just want to ask you a couple of questions about the motorcycle. You said that you paid Mr. Doulos money for that, for Michelle's motorcycle, correct?
Correct.
But you knew it was a title was in her name, right?
Right.
You don't have any receipt or document that proves that you paid anything for that motorcycle, do you?
There might be some text messages between me, Fotis Doulos, and me and Michelle.
What do you mean there might be? Have you produced them?
No.
Did the state give you copies of what they found on your phone?
No.
And there was no reference that they gave you that, aha, we have a copy of a receipt, did they?
No.
No further questions.
Sorry, the defendant said she sold you the motorcycle, right?
Yes.
Thanks. Nothing further.
Thank you. You may step down.
Thank you.
That concludes our presentation for today, Judge.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for your attention today. Shall we begin tomorrow at 10 o'clock?
Yes, Your Honor.
We begin tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Please do not discuss the case or follow media reports about the case. Have a good evening.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.